Hi guys, welcome back to What's On Your Mind. I'm here today with Windsor Western.
Windsor is an entrepreneur who co-founded Her Campus, the number one media site for college women, written by the world's top college journalists. At Her Campus, Windsor currently serves as president and publisher.
And today, the 2010 Harvard graduate is here to shed some light on leadership, strategy, hiring, and so much more. Enjoy, guys.
Windsor, thank you so much for being here. Why don't you say hi?
Hi, Anaya. Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be on your podcast.
Thank you so much for coming. First, before we dive into it, why don't you give us a little rundown of who you are and what you do in your own words?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Windsor, and I co-founded a company called Her Campus Media out of my Harvard dorm room back in 2009, which feels like a very long time ago now. So I grew up in Asheville, North Carolina, went to Harvard for college, met my business partners there, Annie and Stephanie, and also met my husband there. After college, we stayed in Boston, growing the company. I then moved to Atlanta in 2015, and I have two little girls. They are 4 and 6, and I run Her Campus Media remotely. We are a fully remote company at this point, and I love what I do.
Yes. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about leadership. Obviously, being a co-founder, you've built this amazing platform, or together, you've built this amazing platform. For a little background, recently you had the Her Campus, or the Her Conference. That conference was amazing. I think I had mentioned to you that I remember this was my first conference, and my parents going into it were like, you have to be like 9 to 5, like it's going to be long, you're going to probably want to leave, like there's just going to be, you know, they warned me on how conferences go. And I was like, that is not how I expect this conference to be. And let me tell you that this, it delivered. Like,
oh, good.
It was an amazing conference. It was very thought-provoking, very engaging, and it just made the experience so much more fun. It made that learning so fun. So before we dive into the strategy behind the media, why don't you tell us about how organizing an event like that was, and what steps you had to first take to organize it?
Yeah, absolutely. So Her Conference is something we started doing in 2012, and we used to call it the National Intercollegiate. We thought collegiate was cute, like feminine collegiate. Anyways, we retired that a few years ago, but the National Intercollegiate Conference, and then that morphed into Her Conference. And really what it started out as, and it still is today, is a coming together of ambitious young people, many of whom identify as female, who are excited about getting a head start in their careers, who are excited about exploring what different paths might look like for them, who are excited about meeting like-minded, ambitious people, and just really exploring what's possible. And so it's really a college to career, or high school to college, and then future thinking career exploration event, an inspiration event. And, you know, it is very different now than it was the last time we did it, which was 2019. We went through this year over year process where it felt like growth was the most important thing. We have to be bigger this year than we were last year. Otherwise, the event is stagnant and it's not growing, it's not evolving. So more people, bigger space, more partners, right? And we wound up in 2019, we'd had 1,000 people in New York and 1,000 people in LA, and Jessica Alba was keynoting, and it was this massive thing. And we were spending hundreds of thousands of dollars putting on these events, and they were amazing, but it was draining. It was very exciting, but it was draining, but it felt like you have to just be bigger, bigger, bigger all the time. Well, then COVID happened, right? And it caused us to kind of reevaluate and think. And so we came back with a more intimate experience this time. We still had 300 people there, but it was only in New York, and we didn't want to come in. We knew that it was also probably going to be a little bit jarring for people. Maybe this was one of the first big crowded rooms people had been in since the end of COVID, right? More than a restaurant or something.
Definitely.
And so we wanted to make it a little bit more intimate while still feeling big and exciting. So we wound up landing on 250 to 300 people. We had 300 people there, but it was so fun to be back in person. There's such a instant connection you have when you have a shared experience with someone. You're doing something together, you're learning something together, you're experiencing something at the same time. You can connect with them differently if you're there live versus, and I love Zoom. And I love technology and I love how we've been able to speak. I mean, you and I are speaking face to face, hundreds of miles away from each other. But there is something special about that in-person connection. So it was a great experience, but I am lucky now. I've grown the company to the point where I have an events team that really put on the conference. And I have a marketing team that works with our brand partners, and I have a community team that worked on getting people there, getting people excited about it. So this year I pretty much got to show up and was given talking points and told what to say. And that was great because that is not the way it used to be. It used to be where I was stuffing goodie bags and setting up the backdrops and calling all the speakers and organizing everything with a very small team, but we're lucky and we have an amazing team who does a great job with our events.
Congratulations. I know how rewarding that can be because it's, you know, you've put in all the hard work, you've put in all that time and all that effort. And now you see, it's like, all right, well, there it is. But let's travel back in time a little bit. What was when you first started the company and when you put on the first conference, what was that like? And how were you able to build up the team, build up the company in such a way where you had the people to do it for you? Yeah, I know it's like going to take up, but take us through it.
Sure. So the very first time we did the conference, the way that to take a step back even further, the way that we've grown Her Campus Media is pretty unique when it comes to growing a company. And we've been around for almost 13 years, so we're not really a startup anymore, but we really have grown the company by earning our own money. You could say we were first paycheck to paycheck, but we don't have any investors and we have bootstrapped the company. So the business term is bootstrapping. And basically you eat what you kill, you bring in money. That's the money that you spend. We aren't in debt. And so we had to be really creative about what types of revenue opportunities were going to be out there, what brands would be interested in doing that could support our larger mission, right? Because our mission was we wanted to uplift and empower as many young women as possible to be the best version of themselves. A lot of that was through journalism opportunities, on-campus opportunities, ways for them to explore just what are the different possibilities that are out there within these different career paths. And so how can we do that? We need to get brands who are interested in speaking with young women involved and get them to align with and get excited about the things that we're doing so that we can pay to grow the company and fulfill our mission. So we started out with, and still to this day have an element of this is we talk about what we do. We talk about who we serve and who our audiences and who our communities are. And we speak to brands and then they get excited about something. We say, oh yeah, we could do that. We can absolutely do that. Even if we've never done that before. And then we figure out how to do that. So one of those things was a conference. And the way it happened at the very beginning, it was Intel. So they make microchips, right? Yes. So they're a microchip processor inside there, like the brain inside of your computer. Why in the world would they sponsor the conference? So it was really interesting because they wanted more young people to understand the brain inside the computer, right? Like what is making the computer actually work? And then what are all the capabilities and using technology to fuel your success, et cetera. But we pitched them a conference because they had this amazing women's conference at Harvard. And it was fantastic. And I was like, oh, we need to do something like this, right? But not just for Harvard women. So we pitched it to them and then they said, yes. And then they said, we'll give you the money to do it. And we were like,
wow.
But I've never put on a conference before. So what do I do? Right. And so I think we had 6 employees at the time. It was me and my 2 co-founders, and there were 3 other people. And we were like, okay, so we have this check coming in. And we told them we would get 250 women in a room. And so, and then we have to do a whole day of programming. We need keynotes. We need breakout panels. We need to feed them all lunch. We have to get them breakfast. Like what in the world? And we just figured it out, right? We called and we figured it out and it was wonderful, right?
Yeah.
And so, but a lot of it is, I think you can have there's a difference between just being a dreamer and having ideas. You need to be a dreamer. You need to have ideas, but then you also have to be willing to put in the work to figure out how to make those a reality. Like with your podcast right now, you could say, I want to be a podcaster, but then you have to reach out to people to interview them. You then have to edit it. You then have to publish it, right? Then you have to get subscribers and you have to get readers. It's connecting those dreams and those ideas with the execution and with the grit. And that's how you actually make things happen, right? You have to have both of those skill sets. So, you know, and then things evolved and changed through the years, and we grew the conference and it was very successful. But, you know, it was such an exciting, and it's such an exciting and fun thing to do. And just the energy when you're in the room with the community and having people say, I'm part of Her Campus and Her Campus is an important part of my life. And this is my Her Campus story, right? And then hearing from alums who've gone through Her Campus and now have these incredible careers and they helped discover those paths because of what they did in college is, it's really why we do what we do is to, you know, you can say, I want to set young people up for success. I want to help women discover what they want to do and connect their passions and interests with opportunities, but then you see it happening live in front of you. And it's very affirming. So it's, my favorite weekend of the year, and I'm so happy it's back in person.
Yay. And I mean, like I said before, the conference was amazing, and it definitely, I've seen the impact, how also the conference kind of swept social media for a time. I saw a post, it was like, this is the Gen Z Met Gala. And that just stuck with me. I was like, yep, there's no other way to put it.
We're here. We're at the Gen Z Met Gala.
Yes. So I'm curious, how was it founding the company with co-founders? How do you think that helped you? And do you think that that accelerated its growth?
I think your co-founders are so, if you are going to start a company with other people, you should think as carefully about who you start a company with as you do. I'm not exaggerating, as you do if you were going to get married to somebody, because it is a legal connection that you have with another person that is permanent until you legally dissolve it, right? You get married, you are married until you legally choose to get divorced. And that is messy and it is intense and it is emotional. When you start a company with somebody, that's permanent until you dissolve that company or change that structure. You can't just change your mind. If they own a part of your company, you can't just change your mind and say, you don't own it anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. They own that. That is permanent, right? And so I think sometimes you think, my best friend and I are going to start a company together. And it's like, that sounds great until you realize, wait, my best friend and I are only good at the same things and we're going to be stepping on each other's toes all the time. And the things we're not good at, now we don't have anyone to do those things, right? Or I love my best friend. She is my favorite person to hang out with, but she's not a super hard worker. And I am a super hard worker, right? Or vice versa. Maybe they want to really drive and push things along. And you're like, this is casual for me. This isn't a big deal. So you have to make sure when you're finding a business partner, it's someone who's shares the same ambition and drive that you do, whether you want to take things slow or take things fast, right? That you have the same hopes for what the company will turn into. You also need to make sure you have the same values, that you think about the world in similar ways in terms of what would success look like for this company, right? Because success is individually designed and different people have different ideas of what being successful looks like. It's not a stagnant definition. And then there's also, what are you good at? And can you make sure the people you start a company with are good at different things than you, right? Because it takes a lot of different skill sets to bring a company to life. So I really feel like I hit the jackpot with my two co-founders. We were working together really well as undergrads running a student publication. And I think we saw, oh, we're a really good team. This is really interesting. But I don't know if I would have predicted that we'd still be working together 13 years later, running this company together. But we are all still full-time involved in the company. We're equal owners, we're equal partners. And it's just been honestly one of the best experiences I've ever had. They're grown into my closest, dearest friends, but it's been really great because you're also not alone. There are advantages of, you don't have to share, you don't have to share the spotlight if you do it all on your own, right? It's just you. You don't have to agree with other people to make decisions. You can do whatever you want to do, but it can also be really lonely because it's just you. You don't have anyone else to lean on. So if you have the right business partners, it can be the best thing, but a lot of companies dissolve because of infighting between ownership and the business partners. Wow. They don't agree. And then it kind of, everything gets messy and distracted and then people start leaving and a lot of companies fall apart too.
Wow. I mean, hearing you, when you put it into that perspective, I had no idea that it was legally binding almost. I never thought about it. I probably knew thought about it, but I never thought about it. And I obviously with this podcast, you see, like, it's just me, which is great. But sometimes I'm like, you know what? It would be nice if there was somebody else that I could just always talk to about it. Somebody else who gets it, you know, and when you have the support system, I think it can be obviously very beneficial too in accelerating the way and the trajectory, excuse me, of the company.
Yeah, but that's forever until you decide to dissolve that piece. And then maybe they want to, you know, it just depends on how you legally structured it. But there are lots of different ways to structure ownership in the company too.
Yeah. Okay. So I know in our last couple minutes, I want to dive a little bit into leadership and how, as co-founders or even as an individual, you've been able to create, because everyone, seeing how you put on the conference so seamlessly and the team was so involved and everyone was just like best friends, you know, so having a team that it gets along, I know is difficult to cultivate. So how were you able to put together a team, find the right people to help you build Her Campus or media?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So hiring is really hard because it takes a long time to make sure you have the right person and you don't always get it right. It's a two-way street is the other thing.
Right.
And I make it clear, if someone is not happy, and I don't say this bluntly, but if someone is not happy at my company, I always want to hear, tell me what I could do or tell me what it is you're unhappy about, right? Like, I want to understand what are the things you don't like? What are the things you're unhappy about? Sometimes those things are flexible and sometimes they're not. Sometimes they don't like, I don't know, working in the way that we work. They think that the work is too stressful and that's just the nature of the job, you know? So being able to say, I understand where you're coming from. Maybe this isn't the right job for you because this is what it is, right? And just being very upfront about that. So we try to take a long time hiring people. There should be no surprises. The same way you want to hear when somebody comes to work for you, what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses? Saying, I have no weaknesses, I'm a perfect employee is not the right answer, right? You want to know where are the areas that someone is self-aware enough to say, here's how I can grow. The same way as a company, you need to be honest about what it's like to work at a company. It's not all a cakewalk. Yes, we all really like each other and people get along really well, but there are stressful moments. There are hard moments. Sometimes things don't go right and you have to try to fix them. And it is that kind of high pressure environment. I mean, my team was there, let's say the conference, you're there all day Friday on your feet, setting stuff up, opening boxes, setting things up, tearing them down, loading them in a dumpster. That's not glamorous or fun. You have to get there at 6 a.m. on Saturday morning. You're there all day, just like the attendees. And then you have 4 hours of cleanup that night. I mean, it is a long day. You are tired. You are on your feet the whole time. And that is what it is, right? So being also really open with people about here are your expectations. And we treat our employees like adults in that we are very flexible. As long as you're doing your job well, you're fulfilling all of your responsibilities, you're doing what we hired you to do, then we are very flexible when it comes to, do you need to take a day off? Go take a day off. Right? Do you need a mental health day? You should go do that because I want you to be the best version of yourself. Right. So I think the level of trust that we have in our employees, the way that we say, you know, Yanaya, if you were to work at Her Campus Media, you're part of the family now. I trust you. I trust you're going to put in your best effort every day. I trust you want to be here. I trust you're giving your heart to this. And if you're burnt out, if you need to take a break, if you're sick, go rest. I don't want you coming up sick and draining yourself even more. So I think that's a big part of it. And then we also have this shared vision, right? We're all aligned in what we want to do and what we're the impact that we're having on people around us and, you know, within our space. I don't want to say the impact on the world, that feels very grand, but like on young women, we have a very meaningful impact that we make. And so the people that work at Her Campus Media are excited about that, connected to that, and feel like part of their mission is being fulfilled through the work that they're doing.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Just a couple last quick questions. How have you been able to lead the team where also you have created a relationship that ensues that trust or ensures that trust?
I mean, I think a big part of it is really listening. Mm-hmm. It sounds trite, but you know, like one silly saying is you have 2 ears and one mouth because you're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk. You know, you hear that. And that's true for leadership too. You need to really hear from your team what their experience is like, and also know there are multiple sides to every story too. So making sure that people know when they tell you something, you're really listening, that you're going to try to figure out the full story of what's going on, that you have their, that you assume the best with them, right? That you think, you're not trying to get mad at people or get people in trouble, right? You assume that people are giving you their best work and are trying really, really hard. And, sometimes they're not, you know, there are disappointments. Sometimes people do not work as hard as they should, or do not try really hard. And that's disappointing. And they usually don't last very long at any given job or company. But I think that the big part of it is just making sure you're truly listening and responding. And when you can take an action to make something better, or to change something, that you follow through on that.
I love it. I love it. What does your day-to-day look like? Like, you're building a company, you're building a media company, and you were doing this before this was like, oh, you know, social media, all of this, right? You've been doing this for 13 years. So as not necessarily a startup, but just as a company now, what does your day-to-day look like?
My day to every day is a little bit different. I have a lot of, being fully remote is great, and the flexibility that it affords everyone, and the way that I'm able to be the parent that I want to be in terms of, being able, I have a lot of flexibility with, and I can be there for my kids. I was able to coach both my daughter's soccer teams, right? Wow. This spring, which was awesome because my commute is to my desk in my house, right? Yeah. I wasn't having to drive from an office and do any of that. So I love that about it, but I've spent a lot of time on video meetings, a lot of time on Zoom with my team members, really checking in with the leaders on my team, making sure they're clear on what they're supposed to be doing. And I personally lead the sales team. So I do a lot of business pitches. So meeting with new clients, helping them understand how we might be able to help them fulfill their goals as it comes to reaching young women. I work with my marketing team to make sure we're running fantastic programs. I meet with our community teams, but I do a lot of meetings, a lot of video meetings. I send a lot of emails, and I travel about once a month, usually to New York or Boston to see the team or to meet with clients.
Yeah. I would ask you more about sales, but I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I like to ask two last questions before every interview ends. So last thing, best piece of advice and worst piece of advice that you could give to young people, young women.
Ooh, I think best piece of advice would be, when you are young, there is so much power in the possibilities that lie ahead of you. And it is the time to go big and to try the new thing and to experiment, whether that is a job at a startup and you're like, I don't know if this is gonna work, but it seems really exciting and I'm really passionate about it, whether that's starting your own company, whether that's taking that trip or taking that year to travel or whatever it is, you have the world at your feet. And I think the best advice is take the trip, start the company, take the exciting but maybe less stable job, try all of those things, and just make sure you're learning about yourself and about the world through all of it. So that's probably the best piece of advice that I have is do the thing.
Just do it.
And learn from it. Yes. 'Cause even if it doesn't work out, make sure you're learning a lot. And then conversely, I would say the worst advice I could give is just take the straight and narrow road and play it safe right now, because there are going to be times when you have a mortgage and you own a car, got a car payment and a mortgage, and you have kids and they have school tuition and health insurance, and all these people are relying on you. And maybe that's not the right time to risk it all and go, and I'm going to go travel to Europe for a year and you guys all figure it out. That's impossible. You can't do that. Right. So I'm so happy that I set myself up and learned as much as possible and tried as many things, so that now I feel very excited and fulfilled. And I feel like I've found this path that I love, that enables me to have that stability that I require in my life right now. Some people get stuck because they don't find that right path later on. Right. Yeah. So I would say experiment and try and learn as much as possible when you're young.
So you got to take those risks.
Got to take the risks. Got to do it.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Well, okay. One more last question. Yeah. Really fast. If you had to implement something like a ritual or a routine that kind of everybody had to follow to mm-hmm. learn something, what would that be?
Oh, it would be leave your phone in another room and read a book when you're going to bed every night. Honestly, I know that's so silly. It's so simple, but like people write books, they put their best knowledge, the smartest thing that they know, everything that they've learned, they write it down for you. And then you can just read that, right? You can just pick it up and get someone else's brain downloaded into yours. And I know you can read, you can do Audible and stuff, but like the phone is such a distraction. I would say you will be better. And let's talk to myself too. If when it's time for bed, put your phone in another room, leave it in the bathroom, get a book and read yourself to sleep.
What's your favorite book?
Ooh, right now I'm reading this leadership book that I'm loving. It's called When You Win, When They Win, You Win. And it's about how to be a great manager. And I'm finding it super insightful. So that's what I'm reading right now.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much, Windsor. Why don't you go ahead and shout out everything that you want to shout out?
Awesome. So I'd say if you want to follow Her Campus, check us out on Instagram and TikTok at Her Campus. Check us out at hercampus.com. And if you are at a college that has a Her Campus chapter, you should join. And if you don't have one, you should start one.
Yay. Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much, Windsor.
Thank you, Anaya.
I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. And Windsor, thank you again so much for coming. It was such an honor to chat with you. But definitely go check out all of Her Campus's links, as well as the Her Campus website. I will make sure to leave that linked in the show notes so that you guys have access to it. But aside from that, thank you so much for listening to another episode of What's On Your Mind. And I will see you next week for another super exciting episode. But yeah, bye guys. I'll talk to you soon.